Karma Automotive, Forbes magazine's most anticipated luxury electric vehicle. Karma Automotive is a luxury EV brand designed and manufactured in California. Proud sponsor and official luxury vehicle of the Las Vegas Raiders. Charge the motion beyond EV. Karma Automotive. The Las Vegas Raiders have partnered with the global lifestyle app True Connect to give the gift of wellness. Transform your mind, body, and soul through thousands of hours of premium fitness content, guided meditations, progress tracking, and more. Visit tcfree.fit to redeem one free year of True Connect exclusively for Raider Nation.
The game is over, but we're just getting started. You're listening to The Fifth Quarter, presented by Twitch. On the Raiders Podcast Network.
Well, how about that, Raider Nation? Your Las Vegas Raiders are sitting at 500. Eddie Pascal hanging out with my man Bryce Butler in the fifth quarter presented by Twitch. And a 16-12 win for the Silver and Black on Sunday Night Football, Bryce. Man, it wasn't pretty. We can be honest about that. It was not pretty. But it feels like we learned a lot about the 2023 Raiders tonight, didn't we?
Yeah, I think the Raiders are learning a lot about themselves as they go in this new AP era. And the guys are looking like they're fighting, looks like they're hustling. And we're coming out, we're clawing some wins, baby. Now, that was a big win against a great defense, a well-coached team. Big win for the Raiders today.
Yeah, I mean, 100%. That is a big dog defense. You and I were talking about it when we were listening to Antonio a few minutes ago. But, like, let's start here. And I wanted to ask you, because as a dude who's been in the league, who's been in good locker rooms, who's been in not so good locker rooms, who's seen a lot during your course of professional football days, it feels like Antonio Pierce has kind of, I don't want to say like level set the vibes, but you look at the body language from a lot of these dudes. I mean, you look at a guy like Robert Spillane, who we'll get to in a little bit, a guy like Josh Jacobs, you look at like the big dogs on this team. Looks like they're just having a blast. And certainly I know that the NFL is not a vibes league only, but what is the benefit of the fact that AP has kind of come in, has heard these dudes, has kind of altered things to make it more player-friendly for them, and all these guys out there are going out on Sundays, Bryce, and they're having a ball?
You know, AP is a guy that you can tell that everybody liked him before he became the interim head coach, right? Before there was a firing of, you know, Coach McDaniels, everybody already liked AP. And so when, you know, they got news that AP was the interim head coach, I'm sure there was a whole bunch of text threads, you know, within the guys, within the 53 on the roster, like, hey, man, AP's the head coach. Like, this is about to be fun. Like, I'm so glad he became the head coach. And, you know, he played, man. Like, he played at the highest level. He was a very accomplished player. And, you know, he understands anything and everything that those guys, everything that he's asking a player to do, those guys know that he's done it before. So it's one of those situations where it's like, if he asked you to do it, let me take a step back. A lot of players get to the point where, you know, kind of coaches sometimes get stuck in coaching their best player. They use the way they coach their best player with everybody, right? So, you know, you get a player that might be a little bit more aggressive as a running back and another guy that might be a little bit more of a scat back. Well, he tries to coach everybody the way that he coached, say, Jerome Bettis back in the 90s, right? So then, like, when a coach is asking a certain player to do a certain thing that, like, is really not in his skill set, you always look as a player like, you can't even do that. Like, why would you even ask me to do that? Mm-hmm. Like, that doesn't make any sense. So a guy like AP understands what he's asking of his players, and the players understand that they know that he understands what he's asking of them, and they know that he's done it. So in this situation where your head coach, you know, gets fired in the middle of the season and he becomes a head coach and he's demanding certain things from players, guys are like, I'll run through a wall for him because I know that he's done it and he's not going to, like, basically put me out there in a bad situation. So it's easier to go out there and have better energy and, you know, play a little bit harder for a coach like that.
You know, and I think for me, Bryce, like, you know, I think you hit the nail on the head where, you know, Antonio is a dude that certainly has rallied this locker room, right? That, I mean, it's clear to see. We see the victory cigars last week. We see him again this evening, I should say. A guy who has really rallied the troops and has really kind of put these dudes in the right mindset. But for me, you know, through 2 weeks, and I think it's important to note, it's been 2 weeks, right? We still got a lot of football to play. But through 2 weeks, it feels like the Raiders have kind of found their identity. It feels like he and interim offensive coordinator Bill Hardigree have figured out what it is that the Raiders do when they are at their most effective. And color me shocked, Bryce, it is when they run the football. We look at what the Raiders did today. Ran the ball 32 times to the tune of 148 yards. That is north of 4.5 yards per carry. They established the line of scrimmage. They won the line of scrimmage. Josh Jacobs goes over 100 yards for the first time this year, coming off of his two best games of 2023. And when you have a young quarterback, who we're going to talk about in a second, but when you have a young quarterback, Bryce, his best friend has got to be a powerful run game, and that's exactly what the Raiders had tonight.
Yep. I mean, you know me, man. I'm a receiver.
I know.
And I'm always going to say that running game, that rushing attack is always the recipe for success. And if you can go out there and have 150 yards, you know, about almost 5 yards a carry, you're probably going to win a lot of football games, because that goes back into time of possession. And then it opens up a lot of things in the passing game for a young quarterback like Aiden. And so, I mean, they look great tonight.
You know, speaking of opening things up in the passing game, Devontae Adams finishes his night with 13 targets, 6 receptions, 86 yards. And, man, he was cooking in that first half, Duffel, man. I mean, he was just showing off, especially in those first couple series, the one-handed catches, the, you know, the him v. Sauce, which we saw a little bit. We didn't see it too much, but the Sauce v. Devontae battle was a lot of fun. But, man, it feels like, you know, and I said this last week when we were talking to Jason Fitz, it feels like Bohard agree. Understands what Aiden can do well right now. It understands the areas that he needs to get a little better at right now, just with, you know, with experience and with reps. But he's putting the young fella in a position to succeed right now.
Yeah, he is. I mean, and tonight, like, I was really amazed at how Bo put Aiden in a position to succeed against the best defense, yeah. Especially at, you know, heating up the quarterback. And they were coming at him all game. And Aiden showed a lot of fortitude tonight, you know, not getting happy feet. They were back there a lot. You know, they were back there a lot. You know, the Williams brothers, you know, Solomon Thomas, like all those guys were back there. They were getting back there. And he stayed in there. He stayed in there. He stayed in there one more time. And he delivered the throws that he needed to deliver. And obviously, as we get going, as the running game continues to get established like it has been, those passing lanes will just continue to open, and then you'll see more Jacoby Myers, more Hunter Renfro, more big number 87. And I mean, then it'll just be racetrack, baby.
Yeah. I mean, that's the plan. And I think really for me, Bryce, is like, and you've played with young quarterbacks before, right? You've played with guys that have been established in the league.
My whole career.
Yeah. I was going to, yeah, you play with
my
young,
whole career.
What I mean, as a guy who, as like you said, has played with young quarterbacks your entire career, like, when you think of the guys that have been successful, the guys that have adapted, like, what do you want to see as a receiver, right? What do you want to see as a receiver from these young dudes as they progress through not only the course of a season, but the course of a game?
I mean, you just want to see the ball coming out. You know, like, when he sees it, throw it. Like, have confidence in yourself. You've done the film study all week. We've done the reps in practice. We stayed after practice working on things. Like, just let it go, you know? There's nothing worse than being out in the, you know, in a game, especially like a game like tonight, you know, a game like tonight where we're not really scoring touchdowns, you know, it's field goal, field goal, field goal, field goal, or three and out, whatever, whatever. When it comes down to nut cutting time towards the end of the game, like, you want those throws being thrown. Like, you don't want him holding the ball because he's been getting heated up all night. You want the ball coming out. And I think that's the biggest thing when you have a rookie quarterback, because like when you have a rookie quarterback, a lot, the offensive coordinator, the coaching staff is going to protect their quarterback. You know, there's going to be a lot of like rollouts. There's going to be a lot of handoffs. It's not going to be a whole bunch of like complex play calls, a lot of two-man, you know, route concepts. You see Devontae was, he was a nasty and close splits like all game. There's not that much going on. A lot of spacing concepts, which means like, you know, kind of like, you know, spread the field out, but put everybody maybe like 5 to 10 yards down the field, like in front of the quarterback, like be targets for the quarterback. So you see a lot of that. You see a lot of run. You see a lot of pass plays to the running backs, a lot of screens and stuff like that, a lot of action that way. So they're going to protect, you know, a young quarterback, especially in the middle of a season. You know what I'm saying? Because you're growing with this guy. You know, Aiden's not been the guy that's been taking the number one reps all year, not even in camp. So now, like, Bo, him, and AP, Devontae, everybody it's like a collective effort right now. Like everybody has to like bring him on, encouragement, work extra. We got to stay after practice, watch some extra film, stay in the cold tub, talk together a little bit. Everything is a collective effort. And I feel like, you know, after watching these last two games, especially tonight, like I feel pretty good about Aiden rest of the season.
You know, I'm curious, dude, from a whiteout's perspective, right? And he talked about it earlier, and, you know, we can be honest, this is not the prettiest game of football that any of us have had the privilege to watch, right? Like, there are chunks of this game, big chunks, where it's, to your point, field goal, three and out, field goal, turnover. How hard is it to be a dude out wide, a playmaker, a Devontae, a Jacoby, whoever it is, and to kind of feel that, to know that, and to kind of have to be and to have that understanding of like, look, we're one play away. I might get only two more chances today to kind of go make my imprint felt on this game. Like, how do you kind of stay? I don't want to say like involved and locked in, because I know that every NFL player is very locked into each play. But like, how do you kind of stay present and like fired up, for lack of a better term?
Well, I mean, as a receiver, on every team I've been on, we've always said like we have to make the play. Like, we're gonna make the play that changes the game, and when you actually believe that, it's pretty easy for you to stay locked in and stay ready for the moment. You know, does that mean every time that opportunity knocks that you make the play or you make the catch? No, but there might be a situation where Josh Jacobs takes off. You know what I'm saying? And like a game like today where it's like 12-12 or 9-12 and nobody scored, and then Josh Jacobs gets the ball at the end of the third quarter and takes off. Are you going to be that receiver that makes the block that gets him into the end zone, right? Like, that's a play that, you know, a guy, you know, maybe a Chris Collinsworth who played receiver, he'll mention it, mm-hmm. you know, during the game, like, look at this block down the field by Devontae or Hunter Renfrow. But most people don't see that. But that's something that everybody knows in the locker room, in the film room, that block sprung, you know, Josh Jacobs for the big run, or that block sprung Josh Jacobs for the touchdown and to seal the game. So we're always thinking that we're going to make a play in the pivotal moment of the game, and you just have to be ready for it.
Hey, real quick, because I want to ask you about Josh too, but real quick, Raiders Social just put this little collage out on Twitter or X or whatever we're calling it these days. It looks like our man Devontae's ghost riding the whip there in the locker room duffel. It looks like we got the Thiz face on. Looks like those dreads are shaking, baby. Hey, those guys are having a lot of fun right now.
Was that from this past week? Was that from tonight?
Or dude, that's from 4 minutes ago. That's from four minutes ago.
I like that. I saw something that they posted on TV of Tay hitting his EPA style.
Uh-huh.
The Yay area.
That's right.
And all that.
Hey, don't forget.
What? To Vegas. I love it.
Is he a 5-1? Is that a 5-1-0 guy then, right? EPA, is that 5-1-0?
I know I'm 5-1-0.
I know you're a 5-1-0 guy. We talk about that all the time.
I got my number up in the Richmond area. I don't know. He might not be 5-1-0. I don't know. Matter of fact, hold on.
Don't put him on blast. Don't put him on blast, Bryce. I don't want to. Don't reveal this man's number. You're gonna get me in a lot of trouble if we reveal this man's number. But I mean, these guys are just having so much fun, man. I mean, it's like, you look at the energy, you look at the vibes, and like I said, man, I know that vibes don't necessarily win you football games in the NFL, but shoot, it's good to see these guys having a lot of fun right now.
Yeah, you have to have fun in order to play this game. I mean, we're playing a game, so yeah. At the end of the day, you're not cutting on the PlayStation ever if you're not having fun playing games. You're going to turn it off if you're not having fun. If you can't beat a guy, or you're not going to play, you're going to turn it off. And so in this, you know, young kids game that we're playing as adults, you know, fun has to be at the forefront. If you're not smiling, if you're not dancing, if you're not slapping fives, man, what you doing it for?
Man, that's the one thing that AP said in his opening, in his introductory press conference, that like really stuck with me. He goes, look, man, it's like, he goes, what are you sad? He's like, what are you upset for? Like he addressed the team. He's like, what are you guys mad for? He goes, we play a kids game. You guys are all compensated really nicely. We live in a beautiful part of the country. We play in a beautiful stadium. We have a beautiful practice facility. What are you mad for? Like, right. what do you have to be upset about? And he said it in such a way to you're like, I was like, yeah, like I don't really have anything to be upset about. Life is good. But man, just going back to another guy whose life is going really well at the moment is our guy Josh Jacobs, man. We talked about it, goes over the century mark for the first time this year. He goes 27 for 116. And dude, it felt good because there were so many moments, whether it was last year or this year, more so this year to be honest, about where you're like, let Josh eat. Let this dude go to work. He is one of the best running backs, if not the best running backs, depending on what your flavor is, in the NFL right now. And to see him get his moments, to see him get his reps, and they talked about on the broadcast, Bryce, about like the input that Josh now has on this offense. And dude, to me, that is so important for a guy that is your bell cow back, right? And with all due respect to Zamir White, who finished today with one carry, like Josh is getting 95% of the run. No pun intended. Like, it feels like it's good business to ask your best running back the way that he likes to run, right?
Yeah, when I heard them say that today, it made sense. Like, when they said, you know, Josh wasn't really asking him stuff like that and Gruden was, and, you know, now the last 2 weeks, you know, Coach Pola, I'm sure, was the one that was getting that input from him. It made sense, but at the, like, on the flip side, it's like, why wouldn't you want to find out, you know, what runs your bell cow likes? Because like, that's the plays that, you know, like, you're going to get the zest from the guy, you know, because if that's the case, that means the only person you're asking for the plays that you like is from your quarterback. You know what I'm saying? And he's not the only one out there. You know, like, I think when it comes to offense, obviously the quarterback and the coach are always like, should always be going back and forth on plays that they like, you know, checking out plays throughout the week. I don't really like this one. I'm not seeing it right. I don't like this throw, whatever. And then the running back for sure. Like, what runs do we like? And then, you know, in the receiver room, you know, Devontae obviously should have input on, like, I like this play because, like, I love running this route. I'm not going to lose on this.
Hey, so, okay, 30 seconds, Bryce, 30 seconds. Make me smarter, right? Like, what does that look like during the course of a week? If you are a Devontae, if you're a CeeDee Lamb, if you're whoever you are, like, does the coaching staff say, hey, here's 20 plays. Like, what do you like? Like, how does that kind of logistically work?
No, this is how it works. At the end of the week, it's like Friday when – like all the plays for the week have been installed, your coach will typically be in the room and he will talk to maybe like the top two guys and be like, you know, what plays, like which ones are the ones that you like? Which ones are the ones that you felt comfortable with this week? And when they're up on the board, the plays are up on the board, you know, then you'll have your guy. You'll have Devontae saying, I like X, Y, Z play. And then you have, you know, Jacoby saying, I like ABC play. And then the third guy, like Hunter, I like LMNOP play. You know what I'm saying? And then, like, you mark them. And I'm sure that coach goes and tells, you know, the other coaches, like, yeah, hey, the these are the plays that these guys feel. So that's how it typically goes.
You know, and I think, I think, you know, we talk about it being simple, right? It's just input from the players. We talked a lot about Antonio and kind of setting these guys up to be successful. And we talked a lot about the offense, but man, I want to go back to the defense for just a second, man, because we have talked about it all year, right? And I know I sound like a broken record, but if you'd have told me in July that the Raiders defense was going to be the catalyst for so many things that they wanted to do to be successful in 2023, I never would have believed you. I never would have believed you. But now here we are, officially over the halfway point, and this defense, Duffel, is doing its thing, and it is not a flash in the pan. It's not 1 week. It's not 1 month. Max Crosby, week after week after week, is showing he belongs in the Defensive Player of the Year conversation. But again, we look at essentially what won the game. One of the moments that won this game was Robert Spillane's interception. It was the defense showing up, rising up in the biggest moment. And I just can't say enough about what Patrick Graham has done to this group, how he has kept this group together. And we talk about so many moving pieces, right? Amik goes down today. Jacorian Bennett goes down for a little bit today. It doesn't matter who's going in on the back end. This defense, Bryce, week after week, week after week, is just going out there and getting the job done.
Yeah, great game planning. And, you know, obviously those guys are out there busting their man. Like, they're playing very hard. Tonight, the Jets were down there in the red zone a ton and never scored a touchdown.
Yeah.
I mean, like you said, week after week, man, they've been looking really good, and it should make you feel real confident about where the team can go, right? That, like, the way they've been playing this year is, like, we've been talking about the offense. Like, come on, offense, what's going on? Like, what? Josh Jacobs not running the ball. Like, Devontae's not catching the ball. Hunter Renfrow's not catching the ball. Michael Meyer hasn't been doing anything. Now it's like, okay, once we can keep developing, you know, step after step, day after day, week after week, win after win, and then now we're going to start playing complete football, and now towards the end of December, we look like a team that's knocking on the door in the playoffs, like we can make something shake.
Yeah, and look, with all due respect to the New York Jets offense, right, I mean, statistically speaking, this is not the Kansas City Chiefs, right? Zach Wilson is not Patrick Mahomes. He's not Joe Montana, but he's a talented dude. He got drafted in the top five for a reason, a talented guy, and we saw some of that tonight. You know, he has some of that long ball touch with Aaron Rodgers in the building tonight. Zach Wilson goes 23 of 39, 263, no touchdowns, as you mentioned, and the one really, really big interception. But it's funny, like, you talk about, you know, we've said so many times, like, oh, if the offense can just score enough points. The fact that the Raiders won this game 16-12, and we're like, hey, the defense is going to keep us in this game. We just need one touchdown. That's all it's going to take. Like, how crazy. I never would have thought in July, Bryce, that we were going to have that conversation. Never in a million years.
Nope, but we having it, and it feels good because we getting dubs.
Exactly.
Two-game win streak, baby.
Two-game win streak. Speaking of, you know, kind of what's ahead now, Raiders go to Miami, right? The infamous, you know, head east travel week, or travel day, yeah. I should say. Dolphins team coming off of a bye. You know, they've certainly had their no shortage of ups and downs in 2023, but a really good football team, an exciting football team. I mean, you go now in the next couple, Bryce, you have Miami on the road, you come back home to take on the Chiefs, and then you mercifully, thank you, God, we get the bye after that. What do you want to see over these next 2 weeks from the Silver and Black, just in terms of level of competition? Look, would we love to go 2-0 against the Dolphins and the Chiefs? Absolutely. But realistically, what would you like to see from this group over the next couple weeks?
I mean, I just want to see the same thing. Obviously, Miami Dolphins is a little bit different from the New York Jets offense.
Yeah,
right?
A little bit. Like
their offense is high octane. You know, with Tyreek Hill, you got Waddle, you got those running backs that are running all over the place. And then they have a pretty solid defense as well, man. I mean, they got really good guys on the back end. It'll be good to see Devontae Adams going against Jalen. And I don't know if X is hurt, Xavier Woods. I haven't seen him really much out there, but I mean, to answer your question, just keep doing what you're doing, man. Mm-hmm. Keep doing what you're doing. Keep doing what you're doing defensively. And then when it comes to offense, just keep taking those steps that you need to take, right? If we play a Miami game and, you know, we stick with them for a while and just say, like, for whatever reason, the Dolphins, like, take off and they beat us by two touchdowns or something like that. It'll be good to know, like, ooh, like, this is something that I didn't know we had, you know, ooh. And then getting us ready for the divisional games that we have coming up in, you know, the Chiefs, the Chargers. Mm-hmm. And then I think we play Dobbs and the Vikings. So I just want to see these guys continue to take these steps. The defense is playing great. Special teams is on point. Offense, let's just keep taking those steps. Keep taking care of the football. There's a lot of times the football was on the ground today. You don't want to see that ever. But I just want to see progression. That's it. Just continue to progress. Continue to progress.
Yeah, and that's it, man. I think at this point, right, we're sitting at 5-5. It's crazy to say, like, hey, let's look ahead to what the rest of the season could possibly maybe hold, but it all starts next Sunday in Miami. And Bryce, we're not going to be in Miami, but we are going to be together here in this beautiful studio.
Sir.
It'll be great to have you here. It'll be great to feel the energy to kind of vibe off of one another in person. But hey, man, before we get out of here, I just wanted to kind of give you the floor for a little bit. Really tough day yesterday for the Raider Nation. Really tough day for the Houston community as well. Really tough day for the NFL, right? I know a good friend of yours, DJ Hayden, unfortunately passes away, and a guy that you were friends with, a guy that you were teammates with. And I know that you just had some stuff on your heart that you wanted to share, and, you know, kind of we've gone through all the football stuff. We've done all the stuff that in the grand scheme of things isn't that important. So the floor is yours, Duffel, to kind of share what you want.
I just want to give a shout out to my man DJ Hayden, a really good friend of mine. Came into the league together in 2013, and we were still strong friends, you know, up until this point, you know, yesterday morning. I just want everybody listening to just remember that, you know, don't take life for granted. I know that sounds cliche. Everybody says it all the time, but this is like the first time in my life where I really had to really consider that and take that in perspective. I've known tons of people that passed away, but nobody like in my circle of friends, or family, had ever died, has ever passed away. So just remember to love, hug up on your loved ones, tell your people that you love them. Don't withhold that, because you walk out that door, you might not come back. And, DJ left two beautiful baby girls, behind. And it's just sad that, they won't be able to, especially at this point, they won't understand why their dad isn't home. And then, their mom's going to have to figure that out. And hopefully some of us can help them figure that out along the way. He was really close with other Raiders, other Raiders like Latavius Murray and, some other guys. So we'll try to figure that out together. But just remember, can't take this thing for granted. And just love on your people that mean a lot to you.
Yeah, I mean, it's, I know we've talked about it a little bit, but all this stuff kind of hits a little different, right? Like I'm a new dad, right? Got a baby who's 7 months old at home. And dude, it's crazy. Like I saw the same thing you saw, Marcus and I found out around the same time that you found out yesterday. And like the first thought is like those little kids, man, like it's tough. And, our DJ was, obviously I was in Oakland when you guys were there. And I remember DJ as like a quiet dude, kind of reserved dude, but like kind of definitely had that sly sense of humor, that dry sense of humor. And I remember you guys in that locker room, and he would kind of say some stuff and get some chuckles. And it just, yeah, it goes to show you, man, like you never know. And it's like, to your point, you got to hug up on your people. You got to tell your people you care about them, you love them. And now that we've talked all about the silly football stuff, like I'm glad we were able to end on the note of stuff that actually means something in the world, Bryce. I'm glad we were able to do that.
Yeah, I appreciate you, man.
Anytime, brother. Well, on that note, I'm excited that the Raiders are won another game. I'm excited that the Raiders are back at 500. I'm excited the Raiders are back in the playoff mix. I'm excited that I'm going to see you, Bryce Butler, here in this studio in 1 week's time. And I'm excited that we are all going to get to enjoy a victory Monday tomorrow. So, Freddy Pascal, my guy Bryce Butler, and everyone else at Silver and Black Productions who helps us get this little program from A to Z, thank you. As I said, Raider Nation, enjoy victory Monday going back. Back to back, call us Drizzy Drake, and we will see you guys next Sunday, same time, same place, for our next episode of The Fifth Quarter, presented by Twitch.
Thank you for listening to The Fifth Quarter, presented by Twitch. Make sure to download the Raiders mobile app, and we'll see you next week.